When people ask about your age, it's not usually because they're curious about your experiences. It's likely they only want to judge how they've aged compared to you. So stop comparing yourselves to each other. You never know what kind of quiet battles people are fighting. A fabulous exterior may be masking a house of horrors on the inside.
Today we take a second look at one of our more popular shows, Guzzling from the Fountain of Youth. Listen as we examine some far out to totally sensible ideas on how to look and feel your best.
Plus, pressure mounts on celebrity apprentices, gay contestants Carson Kressley, Boy George, and Bob Harper to speak out against President Trump.
Nancy Sinatra is a little concerned Trump is going to dance to her father's hit, I Did It My Way.
And Trump vows to cut funding for the National Endowment for the Arts. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Not shaving gives me more time for misbehaving. Get this sexy t-shirt and all our fabulous designs at feastoffun.com/store.
People with big honking noses don't catch as many colds. Tall people are more likely to die. And those beautiful people we admire on the magazines are usually super stressed out, living lives full of paranoia and suspicion because they wonder what every person they meet secretly wants from them.
Ooh.
And we said this always in the show, if I was any more attractive, I would be dead. Meaning that your challenges, the things that you think are holding you back, actually might be saving your life. And on the other hand, you have only one life, at least, you know, people who believe in reincarnation.
They have several lives to live.
Many lives to live. But as far as we know, this is your life. Make the most of it. And loving who you are means taking care of yourself and wishing the best things, the best foods, the best lifestyle, and the best experiences for the body that you inhabit.
Now, I have a birthday coming up, and it's a big one. It's a big one. It's a Hawaii 5-0 themed party. Not really, but...
What? Oh, the five, emphasis on the five and the O.
And the thing is, like, you know, sometimes when people are ask you, like, how old you are, like, they're trying to, you know, they might be curious about, like, you know, what you've lived through and stuff like that. But sometimes I feel it's like they're trying to stack their life up against your own and see how well they've aged in comparison to you.
Never mind, we have no way of knowing what's really going on over in that other person's life.
Yeah.
And we can never really compare ourselves to another without any semblance of accuracy.
Right. And that's, you know, part of the reason, too, is like, you know, because people have always like wondered how old I am, you know, because I was going into bars when I was 16, 17 years old. And I think
you're a vampire, too. Yeah. So.
But from like the time of like, you know, 18 to 28, people always just thought I was 24 years old. So I learned a long time ago, age is just a little something you sometimes have to lie about. So whether I'm punching it on Grindr or Scruff, I'm pushing it down to the 40 because people filter by age, you know, and, you know, I look as good as some 40 year olds.
I just gave myself what I call a celebrity's birthday.
Oh, is that what it is?
Well, in this day and age when we have so much privacy being compromised and so many identity thieves seeking to know our legal age so they can, you know, get homes and yachts and diamonds and, you know, student loans in in our names with our identities. Give yourself a celebrity birthday, just like, you know, Ricky Martin or Gloria Estefan or Madonna have. That's not really your actual birthday, but it's something that you can easily remember. My celebrity birthday is April 1st, 1984.
Oh,
and the way
wow.
I remember that is because I was born on April Fool's Day.
Yeah, and you graduated from high school in 1984.
And I'm 30. In the past, I was 33 years old like Jesus. Uh-huh. But I remember 1984 because it's one of my favorite Van Halen albums.
Oh.
Might as well jump! So, today, we're always... how do I phrase this? So when people ask us what we do this podcast about, and we say it's fun things, interesting things, exciting things that we run across on the internet. And the internet is this great resource that a lot of people don't understand how to use properly because they didn't pay attention in English class in high school and college.
What do you mean? They don't know how to research is what you're
researching. The reason they make you write those stupid papers in college and in high school is not necessarily to make you become an expert on the subtle nuances of the wind and the willows.
Right.
It's because they want you to go into the library, learn how to use a card catalog and find different books and then piece together information from those books to come and make something bigger.
They're teaching you how to learn. So you might
find stuff.
Yeah. They're teaching these. So whatever, it's kind of like algebra. You might never use it, but of course you really do use it because it trains the brain, and writing actually trains the brain to learn. And so if you ever want to find something out, you know, because you've learned something in the past, it means you can learn something in the future.
And let me tell you, if we're in Trump's America, so you got to use every brain cell you got to stay one step ahead.
Beat these mothers.
Because they're coming after you.
Yeah.
Brains. So Mark and I, from time to time, we, you know, as we age, we go on the internet and we look for solutions to our problems. Right. I've had sciatica, back pain, dry skin.
Joint problems. Things happen.
And so we've collected a lot of information that our friends and family are always asking us. It's like, how do you look so fabulous?
Well, one of the things, though, too,
a big ego helps.
The stuff that you can do that's simple just to, like, make yourself, like, look younger. This is especially good for the guys. Number one is to, you know, embrace your natural hair color or get a really good dye job. Get it professionally done. You know, the stuff out of a box, for some people, it can work. But if you have gray hair and you're dyeing it with something and it looks like it's dyed from something out of a box, it's just going to make you look older.
I don't know. I'm a big fan of Just for Men.
Yeah.
And I put it on my beard. But that also does make me look younger. And even people, like, the funny thing is that first impressions really make a huge difference.
Yeah.
And so if you're able to convey a energetic, fun-loving appearance when you first meet somebody, they usually tend to think of you that way on over and over again. Now, Mark, you like to take a purple Sharpie and dye the gray hairs in your beard.
Well, this is what little old ladies do, is they get like purple dye or they use shampoos. They wash their hair with it. And so it takes that gray, that white brassy gray, and it doesn't dye it necessarily purple, but it takes that brassiness away. And so I just take like with a little gray in my beard, because when I dye my beard, and I have done it before, I ended up looking like some kind of weird magician, because like mine's...
You already look like a weird magician. I can't pronounce the word.
I can make things disappear, that's for sure. just bend over, I'll see where this disappears to. And so it's one of those, so for me, that doesn't necessarily work. So I just kind of like keep it short.
Yeah.
And then I just, if I have a white one, I just kind of like brush it with a little purple Sharpie, and it doesn't turn it purple, but it just removes some of that color. And that part of the reason why I keep my beard short and also my hair short is because when you get older, you want to kind of shorten those kinds of things, because you just kind of like, as you get older, your hair gets coarser, it can get scraggly. And so you just kind of, you look messy, and looking attractive, you want to look neat.
So part of it is just getting, like, if you're losing your hair, just start getting a shorter and shorter haircut.
Yeah, without a doubt.
So when you don't wake up one day, you know, looking like Kojak or Jean-Luc Picard and you're like, wow, you lost all your hair. It seems like it happened overnight.
You're like, no, it's been slowly over time. But we've all seen those guys that have their hair look like really long and then they're kind of bald on top. And it just, you know, for most people, it's not a very flattering look.
I don't know. I'm a big fan of the Rick and Morty hairstyle, you know, the scientist from Back to the Future, where he's bald at the top, like my friend Skip, you know, he has this wild, crazy, bushy hair. But if you look at the back, there is a bald spot in the back.
Oh, Skip has a bald
I don't know
spot.
If Skip does, but, you know, the character that they compare him to, the scientist.
Rick and Morty. That's also a cartoon character. Are you fucking that cartoon character? Are you ever going to fuck that cartoon character?
Well, just because you don't want to fuck somebody doesn't mean that they're not of value. They're not interesting, and they're not people you care about and love.
But it's these are also general trends, though. For generally, a trend is like, you know, saying it's a generalized statement. Usually, if you have shorter hair, it'll, you know, make you look better as you get older.
But let's stop right here, right now, with all this tyranny, and let's just remind ourselves that just because you don't want to have sex with somebody does not mean that person is not valuable. That you can't love them, that you can't cherish and get to know them. Because too many young people, and especially gay men.
Oh, it's so true. If they don't want to fuck you, they don't want to talk to you.
If I can't stick it up my ass, I don't want to know about it.
Right.
If I can't dance to it, drink it, or fuck it, it doesn't exist.
Also, another thing to just look good is to always moisturize, because older skin can also tend to be very dry, and you always want to use something, especially around the eyes, because as you get older, your eyes can get crow's feet, and so you want to diminish those and the puffiness around them. And even a little Preparation H, they say, helps with the puffiness.
Just make sure you use a new bottle of Preparation H and not the one that you've been sticking up your ass, sticking around your eyes.
You don't want to get pink eye.
Yeah, that's the worst beauty advice ever. Use a new bottle, new tube of Preparation H around your eyes.
Just say for eyes only.
Not the ones that have been being shoved up your ass.
Just think of Sheena Easton, for your eyes only. Write it on there.
Now, and hold on a second. A lot of those skincare eye things, they're like, I was looking at this list.
They can be super expensive.
Why don't you just use regular moisturizer?
You know?
Because it irritates your
eyes.
It's
a different kind of skin down there.
That's bullshit.
That's what they say. There's not as much collagen in
it. I'm not buying it.
Yeah. I still use a lot of moisturizer. I do have some under eye cream. And I do, from time to time, put a little Preparation H under there for the puffiness. I don't know how well it works, but it diminishes it a little bit.
You know, one thing that I noticed does... They say that, like, if you're like 10 pounds overweight, that it does reduce wrinkles in your face.
Oh, yeah, because it flushes you out. Yeah. But in the long run, that's not a good thing. We'll get to that later.
Okay.
You know, and you also, as you get older, you want to get your body hair under control because, again, you're
trim it.
So really? Trim it also, too. But it's also like, you know, you get hair growing off the tip of your nose. You get hair growing off your ears in certain places. Now, some people love it. And so if that's your thing, go for it. But if you want to look a little younger, you might want to trim it. The other thing, too, is like, and I see there's a lot of older guys at the gym. They often have their bush really groomed because it hides the gray hair.
Oh, you know? Yeah. I was dying the day I saw my dad used to say this.
What's that?
I knew I was dying the day my first child was born.
And for me, yours was the first gray pube.
First gray pube. I was like, there's no way to hide it there.
Oh, yeah.
You can't dye your genital hair.
Well, sure, you could.
I mean, you can, but it's like, I don't think it's good for your nutsack.
Probably not. I found a gray hair on my nutsack, and I was just like, you know what? It's not good to rip these things out, but you're going. Bye.
You ripped it out?
Oh, I took it off.
And you started gushing blood. Yeah.
And another one thing, just, and this is more in the look good category, is, you know, get some makeup. We now know that CoverGirl covers boy, but it also covers old men. Because, you know, they have signed that young boy to be a spokesperson for CoverGirl Cosmetics. Now, I'm not endorsing CoverGirl, and you can go to your local clinician and, you know, whether it's MAC or Sephora or something like that, and work with somebody and get some makeup. Because maybe you have some liver spots you can cover up. There's stuff underneath the eyes you can cover up. And men don't ever hear somebody tell you that men should not be wearing makeup. Men have been wearing makeup ever since makeup has been invented.
Well, guess what, Mark?
What?
I'm in the process of finishing a video, Beauty Makeup Tips for Men.
Ooh.
Because we've run across all these drag queens who look flawless when they're in drag. Mm-hmm. And when they're out of drag, they look like a mole that crawled up from the ground.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah.
No eyebrows, pasty white skin, and then they're wearing like shiny lip gloss, and they look terrible. Yeah.
Now, one of the things with men, too, is like, well, this is the makeup trick that I just actually learned this a little while ago, is that most of the time you want to cover up like the darkness under your eyes because it just freshens everything up. And the thing is, you know, you have these half moons under your eyes. And so let me apply the makeup and a half moon under there and cover it. But you don't want to really do that. You want to do it more as like a upside down pyramid because it's
a triangle.
A triangle. Yeah. Underneath. Well, you know, a triangle upside down pyramid. It's just I'm trying to give visual kind of things. And so and then blend it from there, because that way it just doesn't look like you're just wearing like this half moon eye makeup.
So the Beauty Makeup Secrets for Men with Callie Brancefort. She's a YouTube beauty blogger. Mm-hmm. We created this at YouTube's Next Up workshops in New York City. That's coming soon to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/feastoffun.
Yay!
Now, there's a lot of research on the aging process, and we're not really sure 100% like how we age or why we age, but the strongest theory right now is that there's this thing called telomeres, which are segments of DNA, and then they're at the end of chromosomes. Now, scientists kind of compare them to like the plastic tips of shoelaces.
Yeah.
They kind of keep the shoelaces together. Now, as your cell splits and divides and makes, you know, a new cell, those telomeres often shorten.
Girl, you got to keep your chromosomes together.
And so what happens is
the telomeres,
as your cells keep dividing and over time they keep dividing, the telomeres become shorter, and then eventually they become inactive and they die. And so that actual cell will no longer reproduce. And so then that's what's actually causing your body to die. And so if you can keep your telomeres together, if you can keep them long, then you'll live longer.
All right, telomeres, stay working, stay long. I don't want no short telomeres.
No, you don't want short telomeres.
So how do I keep the telomeres nice and long?
Well, there's certain things you can do to keep them to keep it together. As number one, you got to control and reduce your stress. So people that live under chronic stress, you know, can live like 10 years shorter than people that don't have any like low stress. And so if you can control that stress in your life and to reduce it, it's much better. Now, what are some of the things you can do?
I have a great tip on reducing stress. For those of you guys who have Apple Watches, or for those of you guys who have iPhones, you can download meditation apps.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it sounds really like weird and counterintuitive to have a meditation app, but the Apple Watch comes with a Breathe app on it that I actually use every day, especially when I'm at work and dealing with stressful customers at the bakery. I lock myself up in the bathroom and I start breathing along with the app, and it actually does lower your blood pressure and your heart rate.
Working in the restaurant business too is like people would like get really stressed out at work, and that's one of the things is like when you're feeling stressed out is like make sure that you breathe. And what's that doing? That breathing, it calms you, but it's also getting oxygen in you, but also more importantly, it's getting the carbon dioxide out. And it's that carbon dioxide is what makes you have that anxiety, for sure.
You gotta get the poison out.
And so that's the part of the reason why, like, exercise, it helps you in yoga, especially because yoga is, that's why it's so breath focused. That's where I like to breathe in, breathe out. And that's where a lot of that comes from. But you also exercising regularly, getting enough sleep, and making you some me time for yourself is really, it will get that stress down.
Last year, I had been struggling with sciatica, which, for people who are not aware what that is, it's back pain that escalates to the point that one of your legs is numb all the time.
It's based on a nerve, the sciatic nerve, which runs from your back down, basically down to your foot, right? But
to your ankle.
The pain mostly is lower back and buttocks and leg, right?
It feels like you're about to lose your ability to move the leg. It feels like there's paralysis happening there. Seeking medical treatment for it seem outrageously expensive.
You saw chiropractors, you saw massage therapists.
I was looking and talking to a lot of people, and it looked like I needed surgery. And, you know, I might in the future need surgery for dealing with my back. But one thing that I managed to dramatically remove the pain and improve my back problems was getting an inversion table.
Mm.
And I've heard about this all for years, you know, like my mother had one.
Yeah.
You're basically Batman. You're hanging upside down, and you do this about 5 minutes twice a day. And I can't tell you how powerful it was at helping my back more than anything else I've ever done. And you can get an inversion table at, you can go to like Dick's Sporting Goods and test one out to see which models you like. Or you can buy a used one on Craigslist. But if you're buying one off of Amazon like I did, be sure to get one that's a little bit more expensive, because the cheaper ones, the foot
are wonky.
Our foot connectors are wonky. So anyways, start gradually at a slight angle. You don't go upside down like Batman, like a bat hanging out. But eventually you get used to it, and it's, I do it 5 minutes twice a day, and it is, I can't tell you what it does for me besides helping my back. It brings blood and nutrients to my face. I just feel like a new person. I feel younger.
Like your intestines work better. Like you, everything. Like your digestion system works faster.
More than yoga, Pilates, exercise, meditation. Mm-hmm. It is the number one most effective for me, treatment in dealing with aging and with back problems.
Yeah, it's a great stress reliever. And I use it sometimes too. And I, you know, whenever anybody ever comes over, when guests of the podcast come over, we're always like, hey, do you want to go upside down? And some people are just like, oh my God, no, I could never do that. And it's like a free smile. And other people are ready to go. The one thing that I do caution you at when you're using it is be careful when you're going in the down position, but then also more importantly, when you're coming into the up position, because if you go too fast, and you're not controlling yourself in your neck, you can get a little bit of whiplash.
Well, and also there's a lot of blood in your brain, and you can get dizzy. So you just, you know, there's a lot of great YouTube videos that address the inversion table. Foam rolling or myofascial rolling or myofascial stretching. You can just search foam rolling on YouTube again. It's basically like giving yourself a massage. Instead of spending, you know, $100, which is a great thing if you can afford it, like Madonna. But most of us can't afford to have a massage therapist every day. And we need massage therapy every day. So foam rolling can really do amazing things for your body.
Now, and also, too, if you are a fan of the herba, of the grass, there's nothing better than to, like, get a little high and then go foam roll, because you're just like, oh. You're like a cat who's had its catnip. It's such a great stress reliever.
I didn't know that that's what you were doing all this time.
I think it's good without it, but it's also good with it. Now, if you're new to it, start out slowly, see what your limits are. But, you know, the bodybuilders, the people, the trainers, the professional athletes, a lot of them, they're foam rolling 3, 4, 5 times a day.
A lot of us don't have the time to do it, but if you can do it once a day, especially before exercising or afterwards, it can be great.
Yeah. And if you're stressed out, it's a great, great, great stress reliever. Now, one of the things that will also help your telomeres stay long is to exercise regularly. And they recommend as you get older that one of the best ways to exercise is to do something that's called a high-intensity interval workout. So it's a series of working out very hard, very strong for like a couple minutes and then taking a break and then coming back and doing it again and then taking a break and coming back and doing it again. Instead of necessarily, like some people were taught, like, oh, you have to do aerobics for 20 minutes or 30 minutes. That might not be the best way to do it for you. That there's benefits to doing it and taking those breaks. You're not being lazy. You're doing something really wonderful for your body by taking those breaks.
Another app that can really help you, encourage you just to, you know, the best exercise is the one that you do. Some people are just like, they are so anxious and intimidated by going to the gym or even just like walking around the block or, even, you know, do like the elderly people walk in the malls.
Yes. The mall walkers.
Mall walkers. Apple has those activity, monitors on their watches and in your iPhones. And there's a Android equivalent that monitor your movement and can really do some really great things in terms of encouraging you to be aware of the fact that you spent the entire day sitting on the sofa. Yeah.
Your watch is judging you.
Well, it's not necessary, you know, and people like ask me, because I have an Apple Watch, and they were like, is this encourage you to exercise? And I'm like, not necessarily. I think what it does, it shows me where I'm shortchanging myself. Like that day that I spent watching Star Wars, the entire, you know, Star Wars movies, I didn't move very much. But then, you know, during my lunch break, I walking around actually does help me stay more active. And then another app that's really helpful is the hydrating water app, which costs money. And it's some people like find kind of ridiculous, but it's a great, these types of apps that basically are just to remind you to drink water. Can be a gentle, you mm-hmm. can also set like a reminder with your Android or your iPhone mm-hmm. to just regularly remind you, just drink a glass of water.
How much are you supposed to drink? That's like a gallon of water a day.
I think, eight ounces of mm-hmm. water, but don't quote me on that. But basically it's sort of like, you know, if you're way more, if you're mm-hmm. an older or male or female, mm-hmm. depending on your body, your water needs are going to change.
And that's the thing, too, is a lot of people, when they feel tired, and a lot of reason why people feel tired is because they're underhydrated. And yeah. so you just want to drink that water, and sometimes it can put a little pep in your step.
So, Mark, what kind of diet tips can you offer the audience in helping to stay young mm-hmm. and energetic?
Well, you want to eat a wide range of food, and you want to eat foods that are rich in antioxidants. And the reasons for this is when your body experiences, like, gets these free radicals in them and gets oxidative stress, it destroys the telomeres. And so that's why you take like antioxidants, and why they say like eating things like blueberries and raspberries and things that are rich in color, those have these antioxidants. So they destroy the free radicals. So they're not around to beat up your telomeres and then make them shorter. And so that's why they're telling you to eat a varied diet, because that helps protect that.
And when it comes to fruits, you want to be berry-licious.
Because mm-hmm, the berries have the most punch with the least amount of fructose sugar in it, because sugar really is really detrimental to your health.
So that's why Carol Channing made her catchphrase, raspberries! Raspberries! She didn't fart afterwards.
Didn't she?
No. No, she just said the word raspberries. She was on the airplane mm-hmm. passing somebody and went, raspberries. She did not go.
She did.
Did she?
No, I don't.
I don't think she did.
And actually, when you make that sound, my tongue is all like tickly.
So, yeah, there's a lot of science out mm-hmm. about, you know, having a diverse diet mm-hmm. and obviously like eating what people quotations call healthy, which mm-hmm. it's so hard to pin down, you know. It's like, I think the way I mm-hmm. like to think about it is, when you eat at home, you're cooking for yourself and you're going to make better choices mm-hmm. than somebody who's cooking mm-hmm. for you at a store or at a restaurant. But one thing that has been, and Mark's a big proponent about this, is calorie restriction, mm-hmm. which is eating less mm-hmm. or brief periods of time of eating less can actually make you live longer.
Right. Well, there's one thing like intermittent fasting. So you're supposed to eat everything that you eat within a 6-hour window of the day. So you're going at long stretches of time without eating. And people are like, oh, but you have to have 3 regular meals a day and space out. And it's like, that's not really true. And one of the benefits is because if you're only eating within those 6 hours, there's only so much you can eat. And so you're restricting your calories. But also, too, is like during that period when you're not taking calories in, your body produces something called human growth hormone. And the human growth hormone helps repair your body. And so if you're snacking all day long, your body may not be producing as much human growth hormone as it needs. Now, the other thing that they're discovering with the calorie-restricted diet is that people are living longer. And they're not 100% why this might be. But they feel like if you're having too much food come into your system, there's just too much for your body to handle.
Well, one of the things is that as you consume more food, you're also consuming more bacteria mm-hmm. that it's on that food.
Right.
And so one study that I was glancing at mm-hmm. before we started taping this was suggesting that just the body's immune response mm-hmm. is inflammation.
Right.
And so inflammation comes from just consuming all that food, but also that bacteria on mm-hmm. the food. The body has to work overtime. Mm-hmm. And so some people were like, you know, saying that figuring out how to reduce the bacteria in your food, but it's also your gut flora. There's a lot of confusion there.
It's a huge area for study there, because people are really looking at gut flora. Now, the one diet that they say really is probably one of the best diets is what they call is like the Mediterranean diet. Now, the Mediterranean diet, so, you know, the Mediterranean's a big sea, and so there's like lots of different diets there, but basically what they're looking at is like one that's rich in fish, because you need those omega 3 fatty acids, but small amounts of protein, lots of vegetables, and that's the key to the diet.
Be fishy to the fish on your plate.
So yeah, and so it's a lot of those things because I'm a sugar addict. I love sweets. I like cakes. I love candies. I don't really drink as much as I used to.
So all this advice that we're presenting to you on the show, it's advice that we're also trying to follow ourselves.
Oh yeah.
It's not necessarily like, don't do as we say, not as we do.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Hey, we're all in this together, you know, but you know, the most important thing is to eat well, exercise and sleep well. And it seems simple enough, but it's really hard to do.
I think one thing that a lot of these self-help fitness, blogs and gurus and advice sort of overlook is getting along with people in your everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a hard thing to do. And part of it is because we just don't have a lot of good examples on how to cooperate with people in our entertainment. Mm. A lot of our entertainment is conflict based and at work and in our education, we're not given the tools on how to collaborate or how to diffuse an escalated situation. Mm. And two things that I've learned in doing this podcast for 13 years. The number one thing is asset-based mindset. It's so important to talk about what things are as opposed to what they're not.
Mm.
So when you're working with somebody and you feel like they're not doing their job, the best thing that you can do is focus on what is working and how much you would like to see that escalate as opposed to why can't you be this? Be like, I really like it when you do this. Can you give me more of that?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, too, is that when you're giving bad news to somebody, and this is a new idea that's been presented to me, is that we can really diffuse a conflict with people when we give them three or more choices.
Mm-hmm.
So
you can either die, get fucked, or die twice. Is that right?
It's like, I'm sorry that I'm not able to do this for you. But so usually like the number one choice that a person has is to keep things the way they are.
Right.
Right. Which is a choice.
Yeah.
Keep things the way they are. Can you survive with the condition, with the things the way they are? You give them one choice, which is a choice that requires a lot of investment and work from them.
Mm-hmm.
The difficult choice. You give them the easy choice.
Mm-hmm.
Those are already three choices that you can do for somebody. And when you're presenting them something that's like, I can't do this for you, but you can do the keep things the way they are, the difficult, the easy choice, and maybe even come up with a fourth or fifth. And so when a person hears those things, they're in charge. It's about empowering individuals. Because right now, Americans feel like we're stuck with Donald Trump, right?
Maybe not, according to Nancy Sinatra.
Well, we'll get to that in a second. And in terms of dealing with a bad situation, you have three solutions, right? There's the easy, the don't do anything and see how it plays out. Try to do the easy solution or the difficult solution or come up with a fourth or fifth. And when you start thinking about solutions in that way, You think about
solutions,
assets.
Yeah.
What I can do to get out of this situation, as opposed to focusing on the fact that we have Donald Trump as president, which is not an asset. We focus on what we can do right now to get ourselves out of this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start feeling empowered. You don't feel so depressed. You don't feel so gloomy. And I think that depression and that gloominess and obsessing about how things are not and the, you know, cause I right now like been obsessed with following Donald Trump's every move and every awful rotten thing that he's doing, because it is in some ways it's very entertaining to see this disaster unfold. It's kind of like watching planes fly into the World Trade Center in 9/11. It's beyond comprehension, and we're having a calamity of global proportions unfolding slowly before our very eyes.
And some people are cheering it on as though it's the greatest thing in the world.
And it's terribly depressing. And usually these elements of society have been in the minority, and right now they're in charge. And it's extremely distressing. And so when you're stressed out like this and you feel like you don't have any control, you always think about, thinking about as a Tatiana, choices.
Mm-hmm.
keep things the way they are, try to find the simple solution, the difficult solution, mm-hmm. and then find other solutions and then weigh those and proceed from there. Your assets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, you know, it's interesting. By the time you're listening to this, Donald Trump has maybe or maybe not become the president of the United States. And Nancy Sinatra noted that Donald Trump, one of his dances at the inaugural ball is going to be to her father's hit song, I Did It My Way. And Nancy tweeted out, just remember the first line of the song. And let me read you the first line of the song. And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. And so this is about a person like...
The end is near. You got to sing it, Mark.
Oh.
The end is near.
You sing it.
I want to hear you singing it.
And now the end is near. I don't want to get shot. I don't want to get killed. Because we just
what?
Did
that.
We just
Why would
did,
you
we,
get killed?
Because we just talked about this a couple weeks ago on a podcast about in the Philippines, over 5 people have been shot. Singing this song during karaoke, because the thing about this song is like it's about a guy saying like I did it my way, and so he basically he's bragging about how he was a fucking jerk, and singing this song probably reminded people in the audience, you know what, he is a jerk, and then damn, fuck him. And so then they've killed these people. Like, these people have been shot singing a song during karaoke.
So My Way, Frank Sinatra's My Way, is the song choice of
jerks. Yeah. Exactly.
And especially in the Philippines, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. in this case, it's the United States.
And don't get me wrong, it's a great song. You know what I mean? And Frank sang it really, really well. And it you know, and I love the song, but it's not, you know, when somebody like Trump plays it, it's like, you know why he's doing it. It's a fuck you it's a fuck you to the rest of the world.
One of the, there's, you know, a lot of the people performing at Trump's inauguration mm-hmm. are entertainers that have long since... Yeah. had their glory days.
Oh yeah.
One of them is the all-male a cappella group The Silhouettes, who in 1958 had a hit song called Get a Job.
How many of them are even surviving at this point?
You've heard this song, right? Na 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 na, get a job. Na 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 na, get a job, and so on.
There's probably one of them is still alive, or two of them is still. I can't believe all of them are. Jesus.
And that song, and it was meant to be sort of the fact that there was unemployment and that a lot of African Americans couldn't get a job. Mm. It was making fun of this sentiment that, you know, all your solution, the only reason that you have problems is because you don't have a job. You need to go get a job. You better work, as if mm-hmm. as if it was that easy just to get a job. You know, and so there they are. You know, I'm surprised that RuPaul has been tagged to perform. You better work, America.
She endorsed Hillary Clinton, so yeah there's no way that she's showing up.
People are sort of, some of our fans are like raising an eyebrow about Alaska Thunderfuck selling motorcycles mm-hmm. on Trump's Celebrity Apprentice. And Alaska said to me, like, I had no idea that was for that until I was too late.
Mm-hmm.
But three individuals who did know that it was there were going to be it was Carson Kressley, who's a judge on RuPaul's Drag Race, Boy George, mm-hmm. and I guess celebrity fitness trainer Bob Harper. They're all gay men, and they're on the season of Celebrity Apprentice, and a lot of people on the internet, or as Trump likes to say, many people are saying.
Yeah, they need to speak out against Trump.
Are putting pressure on them, say, you really need to speak out against mm-hmm. Trump. Now, I don't know what the terms of their agreement mm-hmm. on being the show is, but I would imagine if it's Donald Trump, that they're probably not allowed mm-hmm. to say something without financial and legal repercussions.
There may be. And of course, you know, Trump is the executive producer of the show. The host actually now is Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I mean, part of me is like, well, first of all, I'm not celebrity enough to get on that show, but I'm like, I would probably welcome the paycheck, okay? Because podcasting doesn't pay that well.
If you're not pay at all.
You know, if you're not a Plus subscriber, and if you haven't bought a t-shirt, if you haven't made a donation, you have to think to yourself, well, geez, where are these people getting money to do this show? And it is because of people that support the show through donations, t-shirt sales, and becoming a Plus subscriber. And so I would probably jump at the chance, but, you know, if I had the opportunity to speak out against it, you guys all know I would.
And so, you know, I can't blame them for getting that gig, but, you know, the thing about in entertainment and in media mm-hmm. is that you're always signing contracts that have all sorts of crazy clauses. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just, and if you're, you know, Carson Kressley and Boy George, I don't know about Bob Harper because I don't know him that well, but they're not intellectual giants and may not have access to a good lawyer who can overlook these contracts. And once they sign those contracts,
I'm trying to get Carson on the show.
You are?
And you're calling him, he's not an intellectual giant.
He's not. He's a person known for fashion. And and he's not, I'm not an intellectual giant in terms of looking at a contract. I would need help. And if I was in Carson's shoes, I would think that would be one of the challenges is that you're always signing these contracts that have really shitty clauses in them. And probably one of the shitty clauses is, you know, not being able to say anything negatively about President Trump or speak out against the show and just be like, hey, I got scammed.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing the best out of a bad situation.
Yeah. And it's not like these guys are all at the top of their career either.
No, if you were on Celebrity Apprentice, your career is not going well. Let's just put it out there. You know, it's like if you have time to get on Celebrity Apprentice, it means you don't have time to do the things you should be doing for your career.
Or could be doing. Or, you know, maybe the audience doesn't want it. It's just, you know, this day and age, you got to take whatever you can get, you know.
But at the same time, you know, I would have a really hard time accepting, like, especially moving forward now for the next season of Celebrity Apprentice. Anybody who gets on that show is pretty much, you know, crossing the picket line. I mean, like Jennifer Holliday, they're going to be getting some hate on the. And, you know, I think it's a very big difference than, you know, being on a TV show that is executive produced by President Trump, as opposed to, God, it's even saying that sounds ridiculous.
I know. You don't have to say it.
Singing at the inauguration in front of everybody is a very strong endorsement of President Trump. And Jennifer Holliday, I think it was last spin judgment or the fact that, you know, she was just not paying attention.
Well, Trump also says that he's going to cut funding to the National Endowment for the Arts, which I think it's like 0.0001% of the United States budget. It's got like $100 million budget.
It's a tiny bit of money. This is like the National Endowment of the Arts allows communities all around the country to have operas and parks and plays and Shakespeare. Like, this is not in the past. It was a pretty significant funder of all kinds of art. But in this day and age, the National Endowment of the Arts really is just keeping communities functioning.
And is the budget
tourism into towns?
Is the budget much lower than it used to be?
It's dramatically lower. It's not really, you know, you're by cutting the National Endowment of the Arts, all you're doing is just hurting the quality of life of Americans.
And
you're not getting rid of controversial art or anything like that, because controversial art is not mostly not tied to this grant anymore.
Well, they say that Trump's thing closely mirrors the blueprint for balance, a federal budget for 2017. It was produced by the Heritage Foundation, which is a conservative think tank. And they say that they want to get rid of the National Endowment of the Arts because they think that everything should come from private donations for the arts and humanities. And they say taxpayers should not be forced to pay for plays, paintings, pageants, and scholarly journals, regardless of the work's attraction or merit. And they say that actors, artists, and academia are no more deserving of subsidies than their counterparts in other fields. The federal government should refrain from funding all of them. But there's so many people, businesses, and organizations that get all sorts of subsidies.
The military.
And the arts provide so much to our culture. And that's part of the reason why they want to get rid of it, is because in many ways they want to destroy our culture. They want to get us disheartened. They want to make us just machines that are going to go work in a plant in a factory and then consume and buy their goods and then not do anything else.
And so when you think about like places that you want to live, what is the key aspect or the key ingredient of it is the culture. It's the environment. And the NEA, even though it plays a tiny part of our economy, is a powerful tool. And that's why conservatives are wanting to get rid of it. It's not because it's going to help the budget at all. If they were really serious about helping the budget, they would keep the Obamacare. They would keep the Affordable Care Act because it's saving money.
Yeah.
ACA is saving money. And the fact that Republicans have voted to not track what their repeal of the ACA is going to cost in terms of the government and taxpayers is showcasing the fact that they're a very, very cynical approach to dealing. They're basically attacking the public, you know, and this is what Russia wants. This is what Russia wants to do.
They want
us
destabilized.
Yeah, so they can take over. And it's really distressing that Republicans are doing this, you know, at any cost, including to their own country, to the quality of their own life. So, Nancy Sinatra.
Hopefully, your tweet means something. it's just a matter of time before he gets impeached, right? Can we all agree on that?
I think it's, you know, I'd be surprised if it doesn't get impeached. Mm-hmm. Leaving you on a positive note, Star Trek Discovery is started filming next week.
Yay!
With gay Lieutenant Samuels, their first reporting openly gay character in a TV series. They changed Sulu to being a gay father, right?
With I mean, it's not like he kissed the guy on the lips. I think they just kind of walked away arm in arm, you know? And he's like, that could be your brother or something.
And Spock's father are going to be characters in the series. Actor James Frain, who played Mayor Theo Gallivan on Gotham.
Oh, yeah? He's going to play Spock's dad?
He's going to play Spock's
Ambassador
father,
Spock?
Ambassador Sarek.
Oh, yeah.
The Anthony Rapp, who originated the role of Mark in Rent, will play Lieutenant Samuels.
Mm.
The character is described as a fungus expert.
He looks at mushrooms, okay?
He likes fun guys. And he's a Starfleet science officer who just happens to be gay and with sexy results. So I can't wait. I can't wait. But of course, it's going to be available on CBS All Access, which means like it's like a Netflix with only one or two shows on it.
Yeah. Somebody will hook us up, right? CBS, you'll hook us up.
Yeah. Give me the hookup. I want to watch that show. Yeah. I definitely do. But I don't want to pay for CBS All Access. So make it possible. There's also going to be a female lead and lots of really interesting characters.
The female lead is going to be Sasha, who she was Sasha on The Walking Dead. Now, she's not the captain, which is kind of interesting because usually the lead is the captain. So it's going to be from a different person's perspective. She's not the captain yet, but who knows? Maybe we'll see her climb up in the ranks.
Ooh.
You know, because I imagine there's going to be some high drama in this thing.
Yes. So
there may be some major calamities.
Oh, really?
Probably, right?
I would hope so.
You know?
The universe is holding my
thread. I really
love
her. She's a very pretty young girl, a young woman, and she's tough and she's fierce.
What was the Shatner quote? The stakes are high.
I don't remember.
You know, it's like, the universe is hanging by a thread.
Yeah, it'll be like that. Exactly.
And it's up to us to save it.
The Klingons are still the enemy. Who knows if they'll have the Romulans? Because, you know, in the first series, they never really saw the Romulans until, like, the second season or something like
that. They always talked about them indirectly.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, it was the actor who played Sarek.
He actually played the first Romulan.
He played the first Romulan when they revealed him.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, my God, they look like Vulcans.
And then it was revealed that Romulans and Vulcans were related to each other.
They diverged, and they were Romulans went one way, and the Vulcans went another way. And the Vulcans discovered peace and logic.
And that was actor Mark Lenard, rest in peace, who originated the role of Spock's father and was the first Romulan in the original TV series. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.